baby wobble, baby wobble, baby wobble, yeah. Wobble, baby wobble, baby wobble, baby wobble, yeah. Wobble, baby wobble, baby wobble, baby wobble, yeah. Wobble, baby wobble, baby wobble, baby wobble,
yeah.
And we are live. Actually, we're live in the studio right now. But like I always say, I try to be upfront and straight with you guys because of the Georgia State game currently going on that I am attending. I'm covering that game. This episode of Sports Club has been pre-recorded. We actually recorded it yesterday. And by we, I'm flying solo for this and proceeding as well. Borchick, which will also be pre-recorded. Appreciate you guys still listening either way. Tons of fun things we want to get into. As always, appreciate you guys joining us. We are, just so you guys know when we're recording this, it is currently 1-0 Houston Astros over the LA Dodgers in the top of the third, I actually think. No, bottom of the third. Yeah, bottom of the third. You know, the Dodgers won 3-1 yesterday. It's been a pretty cool World Series. If you missed the first pitch of this game here that we're watching, then you missed Vin Scully and Fernando Valenzuela. That's fantastic. Oh, that was a great moment. What a great moment. That's what the World Series should be about, showcasing two of the best teams in the league and celebrating the history of your team. The history of your team. Yeah, no matter what team you are, you should celebrate the history of your team. We go over this all the time as the Dude Perfect guys are showing their skills as well. I actually still have the Dodgers in six. I think the Dodgers, it's going to take them at least 5 or 6 to close out the Astros. But, you know, either way, this is going to be a good series. Like I said, and there's out number 3 there going to the top of the 4th there. I'll try to keep you guys as updated on that as I can. We're going to talk about some other things, obviously some NFL here in a minute, some NBA, some other things, but welcome in. This is Sports Club. Jeremy the Impact York, you guys know that. Let me talk about Atlanta United real quick. Now, Atlanta United, for most of you that know, is not only our soccer team, but our soccer team who finished in 4th place after they tied the top team in our division, Toronto. There were some interesting calls, an interesting play that was not called that led to that, but either way, that's fine. I don't complain about officiating much. You guys know me. Atlanta United finishing 4th means that they don't get a bye week, which is fine, or they don't get a bye in the first round. And their opening game is actually probably about now, about the time you're listening to this. That's fine. They are playing the Columbus Crew. And I think we have a good shot to beat the Columbus Crew. Basically, it comes down to this. If we beat the Columbus Crew, then we still don't know who we're going to face because the winner of the Chicago Fire and New York Red Bulls will determine that, because the higher seed will face the New York City Football Club, who's the number 2 seed, and the lower seed will face the same Toronto team, Toronto FC. I think we can beat Toronto. I felt it was kind of a joke that... See, I got it wrote down. There it is. Got it wrote down. Jose Altidore and Michael Bradley. I believe one of those is on loan for Toronto. In all honesty, I don't care which. These are two of the stars, and for you who are listening and not being able to see me right now, and you know, if you're listening, yeah, it's the only way you're hearing the content. Two of the stars, air quotes, of the U.S. men's national team. You know, the team that's not going to the World Cup. Shout out to our women's team, who is still dominating and being fantastic. You girls are fantastic. You women are lady, you know, you guys are fantastic. Thank you for holding up your end of the bargain. Sure, you can't win them all. Sure, people say that all the time. You know who says stuff like that? You can't win them all? People who don't win very often. People who don't win very often, like Cleveland franchises up until recently in basketball, and LeBron showed up. The Cubs until last year. I guess you could throw Phoenix franchises into that mix. It's just to say, well, you know, people, it just, oh, you can't win them all. Yeah, oh, gosh, here's a fruit basket. You didn't win today. Come on. Are you kidding me? Yeah, I've already went off on the U.S. men's national team. Alexi Lawless went off on them. Landon Donovan went off on him. And it's not like, oh, disgruntled former people, or, oh, just he's some fan, or, oh, some media hothead, some goofy hairdo, talking hairdo, doing it. No. It's ridiculous. So, here's a chance for them to redeem themselves, right? Well, you couldn't go to the, couldn't take your country team, you couldn't take your national team to the World Cup, you know, arguably, no, not even arguably, the biggest event in the world. Super Bowl is the biggest in the U.S. World Cup, biggest in the world. So it's called the World Cup. If it wasn't the biggest in the world, they might call it the Tricontinent or something like that. But no. If you want to be known as a good soccer team or a great soccer team, you make the World Cup. There are teams that made the World Cup that don't even have stars on them, but they won their qualifiers. But you got Jose Altidore and you got Michael Bradley. And they both play for Toronto, like I said. They play pretty good. They are very much like a LeBron or a Kobe or Michael did this. These are all NBA guys. Let's see. They're very much... Hockey doesn't really have this. Baseball, some pitchers can get like this. Tom Brady's guilty of this. A lot of quarterbacks and coaches think they can get every call. Think everything that goes wrong for them is always somebody else. Jose Altidore he had some decent chances in that game for Toronto against Atlanta, but there was a lot of just pettiness. Maybe that's not the right word, but I wasn't enthused. Watching him play and the fact that he could play pretty well, but yet him and Michael Bradley can't do anything with the national team. What's that all about? Oh, it's a different scale. Oh, you don't really understand soccer. I understand that you have all this talent. They're all on the same show. They're all on the same team. Yet we can't play. So maybe not all of them should be on there. Or maybe we put the wrong configuration together. Or maybe there's no motivation for them to want to do well. Some of those guys that make the team play because it's for the country. Maybe they play for monetary reasons. I don't know. They all have motivation, except for people like Michael Bradley. Except for people like Jose Altidore. So, no. No, sir. Altidore, Bradley, you want me to be a fan or to be entertained by your play? Or to think, oh, you're this great player? No. It's time for you guys to get out the door, get off the team. We've got to restructure that whole thing. And in fact, as long as you're playing for Toronto, I will never, ever, ever be on Toronto's side for anything. Yep, that means, you know, That means, unfortunately, dude that plays Arrow on TV that I'm a big fan of and can't think of your name, I'm not pulling for Toronto. Oh, Toronto will lose every game at this point. I know they're the top team. I know they won by, they were 12 points over second place or something like that. But no, how dare you insult me? Forget NFL protests insulting things about America. How about people like Michael Bradley and Jose Altidore playing solidly and playing like the stars they are in their normal day jobs, but when it comes time to represent the country, try again. Just poof. Just, oh, well, we tried hard. No, if you tried hard, we'd be in the World Cup. You know that? If you tried hard, we'd be in the World Cup. But to end that on a positive, congratulations to Atlanta United. Hope you guys do well during the game that's being played right now as you guys listen to this. I'm going to be keeping up the best I can while I'm at the Georgia State game. I'm also DVRing the game, so I'll watch it when I get home and tell you guys about it next week. But, I mean, come on. Seriously. That, you guys are, it's a joke. You guys are, Altidore and Bradley, you guys are a joke. Atlanta United, I hope you get to play them in the second round. I hope you just squash them. We're talking 7-0. Send them home. Send whichever one doesn't play for that team back to wherever the crap he come from. Now, let's talk about some other things because, I've been ranting and raving for a little while. Let's talk a little Super Bowl and some NFL. There's plenty of stuff going on there. Talking about the Super Bowl, we found out who the entertainment's going to be at halftime. It's going to be Justin Timberlake, the returning Justin Timberlake. He has, I think this is his third, actually. He has performed with his band NSYNC back when they were together, when he was, 20? He performed a couple years ago with people like Britney Spears, Janet Jackson. We all know about the incident, the wardrobe malfunction, the whole reason why that thing ever took off. As far as, it's a funny word to say, it took off. The whole reason why wardrobe malfunction become part of the American vernacular. But now it's his third time here, and he said, and even he says, he goes, wow, I watch, I watch Katy Perry ride a big lion or elephant. I watch Lady Gaga kind of fly in from the top of the stadium. He goes, I'm like 38 years old. I got to watch certain things like that. Yeah, I totally agree. But, yeah, I'm looking forward to Justin Timberlake doing that. He's got a lot of great things in his repertoire, a lot of duets and stuff where he can pull in some fantastic guests. I think Janet Jackson's got to be in there somewhere. You got to give her a chance to redeem herself. You could even hint towards another malfunction and then obviously not do that. But he also, I mean, I don't know if you guys are around a lot of kids. You know, I talk about my nieces and nephews a lot. They are a whole new world to me, and that's a lot. It's always a lot of fun being around them. If you haven't seen the movie Trolls, Justin Timberlake's all over it. He plays one of the main characters. I'm not going to tell you which one, because if you haven't seen it, go see it. Trolls is a great movie. It's a great movie. It's got a lot of songs and dance and bright colors and good morals, and it's really good. It's really good. Anna Kendrick's in it too, I believe. Go check out Trolls. But Justin Timberlake's going to do a fantastic job. Somebody who won't do a fantastic job, and it's not for lack of talent, it's because one some of the most unfortunate things happened. Dan Bailey's going to miss a few weeks with a groin injury, so it's sent Dallas scrambling. They signed another kicker. It should be okay as far as that, but the next heartbreaking story, you know, there was J.J. Watt, and there was Luke Kuechly. He may come back in the next couple weeks. But it's been just big injury after big injury after big injury. Well, the latest, Joe Thomas. Joe Thomas, I believe, tore his tricep muscle in one of his arms. He's going to be out for the rest of the year. Some people question if he's going to be back at all. I think he will because Joe Thomas is just that good. But it had been over 10 years. Almost 10 and a half years now that he has not missed a snap. And he had the snap record. Unfortunately, that's going to come to an end. But the bigger story God, Joe Thomas is such a good guy. You hated to see this happen to him. You know, thoughts and prayers out to anybody that got hurt, because I'm going to get into another a couple injuries here in a minute. But Joe Thomas, the one that just, it took the wind out of my sails a little bit over the weekend. You know, hope you get better there, Joe. And if it is time for you to hang him up, I'm sure the football world still has plenty of places that you can add your just knowledge and just wealth of being a good human. Other injury roundup before we get into ridiculous things that happen. You got Jay Cutler is going to miss at least a week or so with a couple broken ribs. They have signed a David Fales to back up Matt Moore. Matt Moore, who arguably should have been the starter anyway, but I don't have anything against Cutler. Cutler signed the contract that he was offered. I don't have a problem with that. But Matt Moore will make the most of this. Left tackle for Miami as well, Laremy Tunsil, is going to be out at least this week. I just saw that posted. And then kind of the other heartbreaking one as well, Carson Palmer. He broke his arm. He's going to be out 6 to 8 weeks. I'm hearing it's closer to 8 than it is 6. Then we'll go 7-plus just to be on the safe side. But Carson Palmer breaking his arm, I think this is going to be it. I don't see a reason whatsoever why he should try to come back. You know, I think he's got little kids and he's like in his late 30s. And I'm not saying you shouldn't play Carson. I'm just saying I understand if you walk away at this point. It's not like Arizona's going to be a better team next year, because they're probably going to be missing Fitz and a handful of other guys. I think it's time for you to call it, because you're already having issues and now you broke your arm, and it's just, you know, it's like Rodgers. It's going to really shake up the team. They're going to hand the ball. So here's one for you Cardinals fans. You don't think your season's over? No, your season's over. Fitz will still be fun to watch, and there's a lot of other reasons to tune in. But you're trusting the rest of your season. They are turning the ball over to Drew Stanton. I don't know if you saw Drew Stanton this week, but in the game that they played over in London against the Rams, where the Rams just caused so much chaos that they, you know, Carson Palmer broke his arm. Drew Stanton lost some sort of bet and was dressed as a fairy or something. I don't know. He had a cape and really short shorts and all this other stuff that he was wearing pregame. Yeah, go look up Drew Stanton, London. That's who you're turning the ball over to. You're turning your ball. You literally are turning the ball over, because you're turning the reins of this franchise for the rest of the year into this guy. Yeah, way to go. Drew Stanton was decent in college at Michigan State, I believe, but he's never been any more than a glorified backup, and the Cardinals refuse to accept that. That's why there's nobody else besides him as a potential quarterback for them. So enjoy that. Enjoy that your quarterback, it was dressed like a fairy over the weekend, and all your a handful of your team are going to leave next year, either free agency or because Larry Fitzgerald is going to be 5 years away from the Hall of Fame. So enjoy that. Enjoy that. Moving on, let's move on to some craziness. And, of course, it's going to involve Marshawn Lynch. On Thursday Night Football, not only was that a great game, what a great game. And it's not, it started off to be kind of a terrible game. And then Derek Carr and Amari Cooper remembered that at one point they were stars. And with the help of Michael Crabtree, did some fantastic thing. And ended up winning the game after getting 4 or 5 straight times of throwing towards the end zone. They hit one. Good for them. It was a big win. Probably saved their season. But no. Instead of being able to talk about the great win, we have to talk about Marshawn Lynch. We don't have to, but we're going to. Marshawn Lynch. What did Marshawn Lynch do this time? Did he refuse to talk to a reporter? No. Did he eat Skittles after a touchdown celebration? No, he'd have to get to the end zone first. No. Marcus Peters, who plays for Kansas City and is his cousin from Oakland, or his good buddy from Oakland, either way. They're really, really close. Gave a pretty interesting hit on, I believe, Derek Carr. And a shoving match ensued. So he ran, not from the field, he ran from off the field. He was sitting on the bench at the time. He ran from off the field into play, supposedly to try to keep Marcus Peters out of it because he was trying to help protect him. And in the process, through/knockdown, somehow he made contact with a referee and the referee hit the ground, causing the penalty. Well, the penalty is you're automatically ejected. So you would think, okay, well, then he gets his on penalty, he gets his off-field penalty, and then we move on. No, can't do that yet. Because yes, he was ejected. This was before halftime, I believe. He goes in, he gets dressed. Does he leave? It's reported that he left. He did not. He went and roamed the stands and sat in the stands and, I guess, gallivanted as only he can. But are we done there? No, we're not. Apparently, after the game, himself and Marcus Peters rode the train back to their homes. So they interacted and done things there. So far, he's not really done much wrong except for the official thing, but it just, once again, this is Marshawn Lynch behavior. They could have used him on the goal line for the rest of this game, but they didn't. Nope, they couldn't, because he was out of the game. So now we finally get to the penalties for this. He was suspended for this week. He appealed, to which James Thrash said, "You're kidding, right? No, you're serving that." He heard his appeal, but he had no appeal. You touch a referee, automatic. And accidental or not, you can't put yourself in that situation. And once again, Marshawn Lynch did. And also, supposedly, if you shove an official, even accidentally, it's supposed to be right at $30,387. I don't know how much he was fined, but it will be interesting to see how that goes from here on out. And he's a guy that's got to get going. He was supposed to be brought in for this leadership and brought in for helping on the goal line, but right now Latavius Murray last year is better than Marshawn Lynch this year, and you know there's a reason they let Latavius go. Latavius is doing good things for Carson Wentz now, so have fun with that. And you know, once again, that's just Marshawn being Marshawn. I want to move on to this too before I get into the Falcons and talk a little Hawks before we get out of here. So the NFL, you know, we say this all the time, I really stay out of politics, but a lot of times maybe the government or the media will throw out one thing as the distraction option, like, oh, this thing happened here, and then somehow they sneak in legislation behind there or something else, distraction option. Same thing a magician does. Shiny red object here, red ball coming out of your ear hole. Right, that red ball was never in your ear. But because you were looking somewhere else, you never saw him, where it actually came from. So distraction option, and that's exactly what I think this is. Or, to quote one of my favorite movies, Swordfish, it's misdirection, Stan. Misdirection. The NFL has changed their bid process for the Super Bowl. What they would typically do is they would say, hey, if you'd like to host a Super Bowl, present your bids and presentations in this form on this day at this time within this format. And okay, and people like Tampa, and you know, if you had a new stadium, so like Minnesota, Atlanta's gonna try to get back in the loop. San Diego, you know, a lot of the warm weather places really have a good shot. The colder ones usually need a little bit of help. But either way, usually you would do that, and the NFL would look at them and go, where do we want to have this? Okay, are you prepared to have, 100 times more people in your city that you typically would for a game like this, and all that? Are you equipped with hotels and, you know, that kind of thing? They actually check. They don't just say, nothing personal, but there's a reason why Lambeau Field hasn't hosted one in a while. It's extremely cold there in February. And it's just, you know, most of the hotels are outside. There's not any in the general vicinity for the most part. It's all neighborhoods. But instead of doing that, now the NFL is going to determine which city they would like to go to. They're going to go to that city. So, like, if they said Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay, we think you should host the Super Bowl in 3 years from now. And here's the way I think you should set it up. You guys can do your promotions the way you need to, and we'll judge those. But instead of you presenting us, we pick you already. So this is their way of ultimately controlling where these are going to be, which is fine. Like I said, you're going to get Tampa, Miami, Jacksonville borderline, because the last time one was there, they had to bring in cruise ships so that they would have enough hotel rooms. That's a whole nother ball of wax there. But you're going to get, you know, Houston, Dallas is obviously going to be on there. Arizona, maybe. But you're going to get L.A., obviously. Not just because of the new stadium, but L.A., because it's L.A. Oakland's not. Vegas eventually will. It'll be a lot of warm weather places, and I don't have a problem with that. And I'll get into warm weather, cold weather NFL events in a minute. But ultimately, and a friend of mine brought this up when I told him about it, and he brought this to my attention, and I didn't even think about it. If instead of you coming up to them, and they decide from there, if they are pretty much deciding where these are going to go, how long until these are in London? How long until these are in Mexico City, Hawaii, Bermuda, the Bahamas? I'm not going to sing that song, trust me. How long till they're, especially London and Mexico City, but how long? How long? I would say at that point, within the next 5 years, I could see one in different places. What's to stop them from going to China or Australia? Japan? Oh, we could sit here and name them all day long. South Africa? Brazil? All kinds of places. What's to stop them from doing that? And is that necessarily a bad thing? Well, if you're in the U.S., it might be, because now you're going to have to travel those other places to, instead of just traveling across country, you'd be traveling across the world. But ultimately, in trying to move these to London and Mexico City, they're controlling the markets. And in controlling the markets, it'll not only help them with the cash flow and promotions, but it will ultimately help them move a team like Jacksonville to London. Move a team like maybe the Cardinals to Mexico City. Because, you know, they're not going to move the Chargers again anytime soon, and the Rams aren't moving. And after Oakland moves, I don't see a lot of other teams moving a whole lot. Most of the markets are what they are. But, what I mean, you know, that's something we're going to have to look at. As they've changed the process and the policy, don't be surprised if we end up in London in the next 4 or 5 years as far as a Super Bowl, and maybe a year or so after that, or maybe before that, you get an NFL team over there. They're gonna globally expand. It's gonna happen. Might as well buckle up. Might as well enjoy the ride, because it's gonna happen. Not much you can do about it. You can try boycotting, but it doesn't matter. They're gonna do it. I actually think this could be a good thing to expand to other places. If they do expand to London or Mexico City, I'm okay with those so far, because we've seen what games do over there. If they expand to other places, hopefully they will test the market beforehand, but we will just have to see about that. Now, I said something about warm weather and cold weather and what you could do there. I heard this idea the other day. I think it's a genius idea. The warm weather cities, the ones, like I said, pretty much the southern parts of the U.S. and, you know, obviously Florida, California, Texas, Georgia, Charlotte could, but they got to change a few things around there. But either way, you guys know what I'm talking about. Arizona, maybe. They can host the Super Bowl. I'm not saying the others can't. If you do a new stadium or such like that, yeah, I don't have a problem occasionally being at the new Meadowlands, being at even Lambeau Field. But if you're warm weather, we want to see you in February. I don't have a problem with that. if you're the cold weather places and you're like, man, we want to host something, but you know, it's even Minnesota, who plays indoors, you're going to find out it gets really cold there in February. So there's that safety travel issue as far as getting to the stadium and getting in and out of the city. Minnesota's going to do a great job with it, but there's things you got to watch. You could definitely have ice storms, those kinds of things. But what if we say warm weather cities, you guys are Super Bowls, and I know the money doesn't line up much, so we'll have to figure that out. Cold weather places, cold weather cities, you guys can host the draft and maybe the combine. Maybe we start moving the combine around. I know everybody likes going to Indy, but why is it in Indy? It's like in the middle of spring. I don't know why we can't have that. But I think that'd be a genius idea. Cold weather cities, you can have the draft, and you can have the combine. And warmer cities, you get Super Bowl. I don't see where that would be an issue. But that's just a thought. Just a thought I've had. Moving on. Let's talk about the Falcons. Now, a lot of you guys get on me all the time, and I don't mind it. It's warranted. Well, you guys get on me about the Falcons and how I don't really down, but I say a lot of maybe detrimental things about Matt Ryan. And, you know, famously, myself, Colin Cowherd, a lot of other people compare Matt Ryan to Andy Dalton. Because if you take out his best year, which was last year, Andy Dalton and Matt Ryan's numbers are eerily similar. But I'm actually gonna go a little better than that, because nothing personal to Andy Dalton, but Matt Ryan's not Andy Dalton. No, he's somebody else, and there's a reason why he's somebody else. What other quarterback in the league has had multiple head coaches, sometimes almost every other year, multiple offensive coordinators, sometimes every year, every other year, sometimes multiple times in a year? This hasn't happened to Matt, but. What other quarterback finally gets in a system with a good head coach and a great scheme and has one of his best statistical years, really starts to show his ability? May not be that elite category, may not be that great category, might be really good. I would put Matt Ryan on the third tier. He's still, and don't think of it as a slight, he's still a top, probably top eight quarterback in this league. Matt's a really great guy. But let's think about it. Like I said, it's putting up great numbers and a great scheme with a great coach. I think Dan Quinn's a great coach. But to me, Matt Ryan's not Andy Dalton. Matt Ryan is Alex Smith with a lesser arm. Alex Smith's got a tremendous deep arm. Matt is pretty good at throwing the deep pass, but he's not Tom Brady. He's not, you know, Peyton Manning was not the world's best at throwing deep passes. But he played his small game, and that's the way he played. He didn't throw a lot of deep passes. Look it up. You don't necessarily have to be super at throwing deep passes in order to be a great quarterback. But Matt Ryan's not Dalton. He's Alex Smith. Multiple coaches, multiple offensive coordinators, sometimes revolving door, bad lines. Andy Dalton's got a better line now. Matt Ryan's got a way better line now. But, you know, Matt Ryan still has to play better. I still got 60% on him. I got 20% on the play call. And I got 20. They're just not as aggressive as they were last year and not as outside the box. So, you know, the other 20%, by the way, I put on Sarkisian. But we don't know how much of Kyle's system he's doing. You know, we got into this last week. But no, Matt Ryan, you do take away his best year last year. And like I said, he's Alex Smith. He's Alex Smith with a lesser arm. But you don't have to have an incredible arm to play quarterback in this league. Carson Palmer has not been the world's best at throwing over 20 yards. But he's made a great career in Arizona by throwing deep passes. Short passes over the middle. Tom Brady doesn't uncork them very often because he doesn't have to. They play a lot of small, over-the-top passes here and there. Only hits big when he has to. So, you know, Matt Ryan haters or you know, unfortunately, I'm not a Matt Ryan hater. For anybody who thinks I dog Matt Ryan, I do a little bit from time to time, but it's the truth, and you guys know it's the truth. But no, I can't compare him to Dalton. I just can't compare him to Dalton. He's Alex Smith with a lesser arm, so, you know, get over it. Some other things about the Falcons. They signed linebacker Sean Weatherspoon. You should remember Spoon. He's been here for a while. We needed some more linebacker depth, and I think that leadership is really what this team is missing. It would be good to have Sean Weatherspoon back. Like I said, I feel like the leadership is way more important even than what he'll give us on the field. And I think he's still got something left in the field, so I don't have a problem there. But we need some other rush. We need to get some other things going. It shouldn't be up to Tack to come up with everything. Now, they do have a game this weekend. It's a 1 o'clock game on Fox. They're going to be at the New Meadowlands facing the New York Jets. Hopefully, they're able to pull this one off. I personally am not sure. They're going to have to show me a lot. The run game's fine. Matt's going to have to show me that he's going to actually go to Julio because he wants to go to Julio. And not because, I mean, how ridiculous was it that the only score they had last week, and it was at the very end of the game, was to Julio Jones for his first touchdown of the year. That was just, it was unacceptable. I'm not even going to play the sound bit. That's unacceptable. But they play the Jets. Let's just keep this in mind. The AFC East is 4-0 against this Falcons team since February. They lost to the Patriots in the Super Bowl. The Miami Dolphins beat them a couple weeks ago. The Buffalo Bills beat them within a week of that. They technically should have lost to the Lions too, but that's a whole different thing. And not because of the call at the end. They should have lost other times. But so far that's 0-3. And then 0-4 because the Patriots beat them last week. So here we go again. Another AFC East team with a great defense, or a really good defense, and a okay offense. Falcons should win this game. They're making a lot of stops, but this defense stays on the field way too long because Matt and the offense do a lot of three and outs, and they're back out. Puts the defense right back on there. They didn't have time to rest, and they get wore out. And somebody like Josh McCown and the Jets receivers, and even Bilal Powell, are going to just be on top of everything. And then what are you going to do? What are you going to do? But, you know, like I said, I do think they can beat the Jets. But it's gonna require a lot of 8, 9, 10 play drives, move 60, 70, 80 yards down the field, even if nothing else, to kick a field goal. While I'm thinking about that, let me see if I can get a injury report real quick. Tevin Coleman with his knee was limited today. Deion Jones with his ankle was limited. Duke Riley did not practice because of his knee. Jordan Tripp has a concussion. He's in protocol. And Courtney Upshaw with an ankle. Good thing is I didn't see Matt Bryant. But that was another thing that got to me. When I realized that it wasn't that Matt Bryant couldn't kick, because we all know Matt Bryant is one of the best kickers there ever was. And that's not a biased statement. Look up the numbers. But when he has one blocked and he misses another, it's the snap in the hole. They were terrible. Got to get those together. You have to. It's all three facets of the game. Just because your offense can score 20 points and your defense can keep them under 20 points, if your special teams can't use field position to their advantage, you're going to lose. And that's what's been happening for a lot of teams. But it didn't happen for this team. Finally, all of a sudden, it happens for this team, and they don't know what to do. Well, here's what you do. The snapper and the holder and the kicker have got to just spend hours at practice. Just bam, bam, bam. 1, 2, 3. Snap, hold, kick. Snap, hold, kick. Snap, hold, kick. Is it getting tiring yet? No, keep doing it. Snap, hold, kick. Snap, hold, kick. You guys know what you're doing. In fact, just snap, hold. We know he can kick. Show us you guys can do that. Because as of right now, the Falcons are third place in their division. They're only a game better than Tampa. Tampa's a good team. But Carolina is above them. And Cam's going to be up and down. That kind of thing. But New Orleans has suddenly found a defense. So that makes three possible teams and three potential winners of the division that are not the Atlanta Falcons. The Falcons could, but they're on a three-game losing streak. Carolina's on a two-game losing streak. Tampa Bay is on a three-game losing streak. And the New Orleans Saints, who started 0-2, are on a four-game winning streak. You got to do something to stop them. Because if you don't, that's going to be it. Yeah, we don't have time to really get into Carson Wentz. Just know that that kid is not only going to be special, he's special now, and probably not only the Eagles, one of the best teams in the league, and a front runner for sure to possibly win the NFC. He's on his way to being a top player in the league in little to no time. But I want to talk some Hawks before we get out of here. Because, you know, I made my appeal a couple weeks ago. We are in the process of maybe getting Steve Holman on the show at some point. That should be great. That guy's been the voice of the Hawks for pretty much as long as I've been following the team. And I made my appeal that I want to be a Hawks fan. They just they needed to do something to show me. It doesn't mean winning all the games. It had nothing to do with that. Because, in fact, I believe we have one win so far. Yeah, we won our opening win against the Mavericks. Lost to the Hornets, the Nets, and the Heat. Injuries had a little bit to do with those. Can't blame anybody as far as that. We got upcoming games against the Bulls. We're better than the Bulls. The Nuggets, yeah, that'd be interesting. That one's going to be fun. You know, while I'm talking about that one, let me go ahead and say, that's going to be fantastic. If you go ahead and buy tickets, or when you buy tickets, you're going to get a $10 voucher for food and drink. And I don't think alcohol is involved, but you don't, come on. Drink water, drink Sprite, drink something like that. But no, this Friday, the game against the Nuggets that's going to be at Phillips Arena, you definitely need to check that out. As part of the Kia tip-off, because this is the home opener for us, I believe. Is that right? Yeah. For some reason, we spent five straight games away. Our home opener, it's going to be 7:30 this Friday. Steve Holman on the call. You need to go because Run the Jewels is going to be there. Run the Jewels is, I think it's a pregame concert. It could be a postgame concert, but these two dudes are pretty good. They're a good act. Some good musicians. Go check them out. And like I said, you get a free concert and you get a $10 food and drink voucher just for buying tickets. So, you know, shout out to David Burgos, who has season tickets and will probably be at that game. I'm going to have to hit you up sometime, David. We're going to need to go. I think first you need to win some games in fantasy, but that's neither here nor there. Could be worse. You could be the GM of the Devicons, but, you know, another shout out there. Either way, I'd go early Friday. Go early so you can check out the Run the Jewels performance. Like I said, I think it could be post, but I think it's pregame. Can I get some sort of... Oh, halftime and post-game performances by Run the Jewels. And each ticket you purchase will have a $10 free food and drink. See, how bad is that, you know? It's not bad at all. In fact, I'm going to do you guys one better. I'm going to look up ticket prices while we're talking. Ticket prices... As LA just hit a home run. I believe it is Was that? I didn't see who hit it, but it is now. Let's find out what it is. Anyway, here we go. Looks like tickets range anywhere between $20 all the way up to a couple hundred. Looks like you can actually sit just a handful of rows back for about $170. It's not bad at all. LA just tied it with a home run. Houston manufactured a run, and I believe Jock Peterson is the one who hit the home run there. They are tied 1-1 in the bottom of the fifth. But no, it looks like $20. Where are these $20 seats? Let's find out. They're not all in the 300s. You can also get the Chick-fil-A fan pack. Those things are great. Check those out. But we're talking $20. That's cheaper than... It's by far cheaper than the Falcons. That's right along par with Braves. You guys should go to that game. Definitely go to that game. But now, when I made my appeal, I said, hey, do something to make me want to be a fan again. Well, they've had five great games, even though they're 1-4. Five great games. They're entertaining. As far as, you know, you got to think, Dennis Schroeder is by far our star player. He's averaging 23 points a game. He's also averaging 3 rebounds a game, 7 assists, 2 steals, and doesn't turn the ball over all that much. And then, this guy may be my new favorite player. Marco Bellinelli. That guy is averaging almost 14 points a game. He's a great three-pointer. That guy has ridiculous range. He's actually getting a handful of rebounds a game. A couple assists. And most of this coming off the bench. Kent Bazemore's got 13.5 points a game. You got John Collins, who's averaging 8 rebounds a game. Dwayne Dedmon has 7. Arsan Ilyasova has 6. Taurean Prince, D'Angelo Bembry. I think he's a little banged up. He's going to be okay, though. But no, I ask him to be entertaining, to give me a reason to watch. And I think they've done that. I think I'm getting closer and closer to being full out, all in with them. Right now, I'm very highly entertained. When people ask me my favorite team, I say I don't currently have one, but I really like the Hawks. I'm getting there. And like I said, it's not a, oh, send me swag so I'll be your... No, it doesn't matter what kind of swag you have, if you have any swag at all. You can be a great fan without ever buying a piece of merchandise from your team. I could care less what these commercials on TV say. You don't have to buy a jersey to be a great fan. You'd be a great fan just by following the team, caring about them, cheering for them. And I'm definitely approaching that. Like I said, not like I'm some great pickup where it's the be-all, end-all. Oh, if you get Jeremy on your fan base, then you're the best team in the world. No, just I definitely like where everything's going. I like the people we're getting into place. And I like the fact that, you know, I like the fact that the Kent Bazemores and the Mike Muscalas and the Marco Bellinellis are entertaining. And most of them come off the bench with their production. I mean, he might be earning a starting job if he hadn't already. But for my money, for how it's concerned, even though the Hawks are in, according to this, they're in 13th. I'm not worried about it. There's a chance we could sneak into the playoffs on this. If not, we'll go from there. But it's early. And just think, the defending champion In fact, yeah, the defending champion, Golden State Warriors, only have one more win than we do. Only one more win. See, I'm already saying we. Maybe I'm a closer fan than I think. But it's just going to be fantastic. It's just going to be fantastic. Let's see. We talked about the Falcons. Talked about the Hawks. Talked about United. Talked about the NFL. Well, and even though we pre-recorded this, and I appreciate you guys listening, as you guys are always fantastic, make sure to go to the iTunes store. Give us a rating and review. It will make this show better. It allows us to get sponsors. We are talking to some people now, some people I think you guys will really, really like. But next week, we're going to hear some stories from Reggie. Him and his son went to the New England-Atlanta game. We're going to hear some stories from Cody about some things out on the West Coast. And I'm sure Coach is going to have some stories as well. But this has been Sports Club. Thanks to Impact Media. Thanks to Blog Talk Radio. I'm Jeremy the Impact York. We will see you guys next week. Go Falcons. Shaking they boobies like Congos, man. I'm shaking the city like quakes. The haters blue in the face like Gonzo, cause I'm breaking the cake, so let's bake. I'm taking the game's mine. Yeah, I witnessed the change, it's my time. Yeah, I'm new to the game, but y'all might wanna say you whack raps, they like saving time. I can dance, homie, I don't two-step. Y'all looking at something like a true player. A girl told me that a man that could dance might could possibly get down with the tool in his pants. Now I'ma ladies, let me see it vibrate. And when it's over, you ain't gonna need your bird. Cause I'm a pro, make you bend your back low, then the pound it real fast.